Well, let me pray, and we are going to jump in. I hesitate to say this, but compared to the last 3 weeks, this is an easier topic. So, and those of you who came in late, there's handouts on that middle table, or that table over there, if you want to grab one. So, I say that, but then watch, this will be the one that y'all are like, no, we have a lot of questions, and you have not answered any of them. So, they're always enjoyable to prepare for, but this one, it was just so enjoyable for me. So I'm excited to get to share it with you tonight. So let's pray, and then we will jump right in. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you brought us to relationship with you, that we can know you, and we can know you rightly by your word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, as we endeavor this semester to study these incommunicable attributes that only you have, God, we confess that they are hard and there is so much mystery with them. But, God, thank you that you do allow us to know and understand a certain aspect of each one of these. And so, God, I pray for our time tonight that you would just guide us, that you would help me be clear in my words. That God, more importantly, we ask that by your Spirit, you would speak to each of us, especially as we open your word, that we might see who you are. And that in seeing who you are, that we would be a changed group of women. So we ask that you would meet with us tonight, and we pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Well, ladies, within almost every human's experience, we want to be known, right? There is a desire to be known. I'm not talking about a desire for fame. Some people have that. But there is a desire to be known. And specifically, I think to a certain degree, every human longs to share their life with somebody. Not just talking marriage, but just having a group of people, family or friends, that they feel like they can be themselves around them. That you can just... that they're the kind of friends that they know, oh, Christy wouldn't like that. I mean, you don't even have to say anything. So you just know when you have a friend who gives a certain look that you're like, oh, don't go on. And so I have in high school my very best friend. Her name is Tammy. And we would play the game Taboo. And remember, you'd have to give a word without saying the words. We owned that game in every youth group. Thing. But it's because the words on there were never even a hint because we just knew each other so well. We would be things like, remember that thing that I want to ride in a wedding one day? And we're like, carriage, you know, and then everybody be like, you can't say that. I mean, but it's like you just knew each other so well. Or I just remember one time I can't even remember what the word was now. But I just remember she just said like, Sherry. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. It was some piece of clothing that was on our thing. And everybody's like, what? It's like, you know, you just know somebody. Those of you who are married, there are things probably you know more now about your husband than you did when you got married. There are probably little quirks that you're like, oh, when my husband does that, it's time to tell the kids, just go to the room. Don't keep asking your father. Because you know them so well. And so we have a deep desire to be known, but we also have a deep desire to know somebody else and to know them and to know their heart and to know their joys. But in our effort to know people, it can also bring about disappointments, can it? And part of that is because sometimes as we know somebody, they change over time. Like, I'll think again about high school friends. There were certain high school friends, we all kind of shared the same life view at 15 and 16. It wasn't highly developed, but we shared the same life view. They're the same, some of these are, they're still friends, but we kind of lost touch except for through Facebook, and we could not post things more polar opposite than each other. And so I would say, we wouldn't share the same deepness of friendship because we have completely different life views and those kind of things. So sometimes with humans, kind of the struggle can be that it's it's hard because we're constantly changing. We're constantly moving in directions. And so there can be an aspect of being known and knowing somebody that can have its disappointments. Well, ladies, I would say the same thing is we want to know God, and that's why we're here. We want to know Him. And the challenge is not that He's going to change, because we know He doesn't, and next week we will talk about His immutability and all that comes with that. So that's the best news, but the struggle is that we cannot always pin God down, can we? Sometimes we can't get the answers to all of our questions. And so why can't we do that? Because God is incomprehensible. And so, but that's not bad news. That's also good news. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to unpack what it means that God is incomprehensible. Because with Him being incomprehensible, there's a lot of good news that comes along with that. And so, does that make sense? So let me give you a working definition of incomprehensible, and then we're going to look at some passages of Scripture. And then we're going to go through the same format where we talk about why this is good, that God is this way. And then we're going to talk about, do we believe it, do we rest and rely, or do we rival? So same format that we've been doing. So I'm going to give you a definition, and I will send these notes so you do not have to try to write this down. And then I'll read what R.C. Sproul says, which is the one I think I put on your handout. So to say that God is incomprehensible, it's to acknowledge that the glorious triune God of Scripture, He's in a category all by Himself. And haven't we already been establishing this week after week after week? He's unfathomable in His nature, in His knowledge, and in His works. However, here's the good news that we're also going to unpack tonight. That due to His gracious self-disclosure in general revelation and in special revelation, we can know the incomprehensible God truly, but not exhaustively. Does that make sense? So what you're going to see in our study tonight is God is incomprehensible. I like how Jen Wilkins says, incomprehensible, here's how she defines it. It means that only what God has chosen to reveal of Himself can be known. So we will only be able to know the things that He's revealed about Himself. But there's other aspects of Him that we can't fully know this side of eternity. And so He's incomprehensible, but yet He's knowable to a certain extent. And that's important. So I put on there because I just have R.C. Sproul says things better than the rest of us. And so I'm going to read it. It's a little bit long, but I want you to follow along because I think it's important for you to really grasp this part before we get into the passages. Here's what he says. Theologically speaking, to say that God is incomprehensible is not to say that God is utterly unknowable. It is to say that none of us can comprehend God exhaustively. We allude to the reformational principle that God is both hidden and revealed. There is a mysterious dimension of God that we do not know. However, we aren't left in darkness, groping around for a hidden God. God has also revealed Himself, and that is basic to the Christian faith. Christianity is a revealed religion. God the Creator has revealed Himself manifestly in the glorious theater of nature. I love that phrase. He's revealed Himself manifestly in the glorious theater of nature. That's what we call natural revelation, or sometimes you'll hear it referred to as general revelation. But God has also revealed Himself verbally. He has spoken, and we have His word inscripturated in the Bible. Here we're talking about special revelation. Information God gives us that we could never figure out on our own. So I want you to see as we're starting is that God is incomprehensible. We cannot know Him completely and fully. However, God in His kindness has revealed what is necessary to be able to know him and be in relationship with him. And he's done that in two ways, one through general revelation and one through special revelation. And we'll unpack that in a minute. But first I want you to see kind of some verses that really talk about God as incomprehensible. So I put on there Romans 11, 33 through 36. And I love these verses. I just think they're so incredibly beautiful. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." So ladies, just looking at this, he asks, it's a rhetorical question, but have you ever just stopped? And you may have done this like at a youth retreat, because that's where we tend to be asked to do these things. But in your adult life, when is the last time you sat before the Lord and just thought about the depth of his riches of wisdom and knowledge and thought, "God, why do I ever cease to trust you? Like, there is such depth that I can't even fathom." It even says that. How unsearchable are his judgments. And so I think sometimes, and we'll talk about this later, is part of our struggle is that we have brought God again to a more manageable place in how we view him. Do you think that can be accurate sometimes? And so I would say go back and reread this verse later on this week. Another one is Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. Here's what it says. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Isn't that one of our biggest struggles? We want God's ways to be our ways. At least that's my big struggle. I'm like, "God, if you would just get on board with my plan, I feel like we would be good." But in reality, his ways are so much better. They're so much higher. And it's not about me going, "Hey, you need to come down here." It's, "No, Christy, I need to trust the God whose ways are higher and deeper and more." Psalm 145:3 says this, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." And then the last one that I put on here, and it's on your sheet, Deuteronomy 29:29. "The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And so it's very clearly saying there are secret things. It's incomprehensible. Those are his. But the good news, he has revealed what we need to know about him to be in relationship with him. And so just in those four sets of verses, you recognize there's a limit, isn't there? There is a limit to what we can know about God. We understand there are what? What are some of the words that we use? There's secret things. What else from Romans 11? Inscrutable ways. Unsearchable. I mean, and his ways are even higher. So it kind of says, here's where you can go. But I'm so much more than that. And so, again, I will just speak for me. If I'm honest, I don't think about those. I try to bring him into something that I can figure out. And so if I can figure out God, then I, to a certain degree, if I'm honest, I think I can almost control him or sway him or do something. Now, that's hard to admit because, of course, I would never want to admit that. But often that's how I'm living. And this is where, in studying this, it's like, no, Chrissy, I am so much more. There is so much more to who I am. Stop and sit and be amazed at who it is that has made a way for you to be in relation with me. Isn't that beautiful, ladies? And so this is what it means that he's unsearchable. So here's what I want to, we're going to do just one table time tonight. But this one's an important one, but I'm not going to ask you hard questions. What I want you to do at your tables, just to kind of write out some things, and then those at home, you guys do it too. I just want you guys to list a few questions. Like, if you could know some of the unsearchable things, what would be some of the questions that you would want to ask God? Like, I will tell you, one of my big, I have two big questions. One would be, why evil? Why, Lord? Why? Why did that one even, how did that work and why? You know, kind of thing. Another one, if I'm honest with you, I want to go, why do some people have such hard lives? And it seems that others have such easy. Like, why does that happen, Lord? So, just take a few minutes and just share at your table just some of the questions you might have. It could be, God, why did you make my hair red? I mean, you know, some of those kind of, it doesn't have to be deep, deep. And so, but just some of those questions that you know we're not going to get the answer to this side of heaven, but you kind of would like to know. So take 3 minutes and just do them. So that means you have to talk. Okay? All right, go. Okay, ladies. Why don't we just everybody list a few out. I'm going to write some on the board. Let me take this with me. Those of you at home, we'll try to make sure you can see. So just list a few out to me. Like what are some questions that you would love answered? Okay, y'all were talking at your table. So, yeah. So what's a question you would like to ask God? Yeah, that same question of why. Why does it seem some have easier lives or harder, easier or harder lives? Yeah. Oh, exactly. So, and what else? You were going to say something. Yeah. So why, why natural disasters? Okay. Injustice. Yeah. Why injustice? Just keep calling them out.
Can you hear us?
Oh, no. Yeah, I can. What do you... Scared me.
One of the things we had, sorry, is why is it that our lives get harder as we get older?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. Why? Why with age is it harder? Yes. So... Anybody else?
Why did he make us do those
Yes. Yes, why are some of us tastier to those creatures? Yeah, she said, why are some of us more tasty for the mosquitoes than other people? Yeah.
I
want to
know that one.
Yes. Another question I'll tell you that I always ask, like, what really are we going to do in eternity? Like, that's a long time. Like, and then you're like, I know we're going to do that, and then like 60,000 years, and then what's after that? I mean, I just can't comprehend it, but, you know, like what in eternity. Okay, anybody, one more. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, mosquitoes fertilize the cocoa plant. That's their one good purpose, ladies at home. That's what we just found out. They have no other good purpose. I mean, maybe they do. That's a good question. Right. Yes. Elaine's like, I don't care about the rest of y'all. It's about me right here. So. Yes. Why prodigals? Yeah. Okay. We will come back to some of these in just a few minutes, so, and I'll make sure y'all mute at home then. But part of this is there are so many questions that we have just not been given the answer to, have we? Like, there's so many. And it's not just little kids' questions. We are the same. Why, God? What about this? Why not this? What did you do this for? I mean, like, it's the same kind of thing. And so, and I'm going to read from, I pull a lot from R.C. Sproul tonight, so y'all just forgive me, but he just says things so well. In talking about our questions, he takes us back to what we talked about last week, as us as finite beings versus him being infinite. And this is what R.C. Sproul said. He goes, the finite, we cannot grasp the infinite. We will always have questions. That the infinite is the only one who knows the answer, and he's not chosen to reveal them to us. And he said, human beings are finite creatures, so our minds always work from a finite perspective. We live, we move, we have our being in a finite plane. But God lives, moves, and has his being in eternity, in infinity. Our finite understanding cannot contain an infinite subject. Thus, God is incomprehensible. The concept presents a check and balance to warn us, lest we think we've captured altogether and mastered in every detail the things of God. Our finite ways always limit our understanding of God. And so, when you have a friend who's in a struggle, what is the first thing that we want to do, or second thing? We want to fix it and we want to explain it. Oh, I bet God is trying to teach you this. Or God is trying to grow. Do you see what we're trying to do there? We are trying to declare what God may have chosen for a season to keep secret. And we can't speak for him in those ways. Now, if it comes from God's word, we can speak and say, the prodigal child, God loves the children. God loves his covenant children. We know that from his word. But we can't say, well, God is trying to teach this, this, and this. Does that make sense? And so, because those things are unsearchable, but boy, I know I want to do it. Like, if somebody comes and like, hey, here's this situation, I'm like, oh, well, maybe God is doing it. Like, no. No, instead of saying maybe God, it's like, this is where we're going to have to practice trusting God. And here are the things we know to be true, but I can't tell you the whys, because he has not made those clear. And so, it's a little shift for us to do that, but I think it's good. Another thing I'd want to mention before we get into ways he has made himself known is that we oftentimes use the word holy other when we talk about God. I even used it last week when we were talking about being finite and he's infinite and he's holy other. And what we mean by that, he's so completely different than we are. But the danger, I just want to throw this out, the danger is if we only talk about him as holy other, then it might lead somebody to believe that he's so completely different that he can't be known. But what God did in creating humans in his image, he made us in a unique way so that we could relate to him. And that seems like a silly point to make right now, but I will tell you, as I've studied this, that actually comes up a lot. I use the term loosely, theologians. There are many out there who believe in a God, but believe he's so incomprehensible and so wholly other that we can't have a relationship with him. But what we believe, according to God's word, is because he made us in his image, it's because he wanted to make us be able to have the ability to know him. And so think about, I have a cute little kitty cat that I just spent all day at the vet with today. He's like the only cat in the world who has allergies. And he doesn't have little allergies. He's the kind you have to get tests and you get shots. I mean, it's a lot of money. But it's kind of ridiculous, but you commit to it and go. But God, when he created cats, he did not make them in a way that they have a personal relationship and can know God. But when he made humans in God's image, He created us in a way that we can know him. So think about that, ladies. He is wholly other, but yet he's made us in his image so that we can know him to the extent that he has revealed himself to us. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It is overwhelming if you will stop and go back and read those verses about how incomprehensible he is and think that is the God who then said, Lisa Bunn, I want you to know me. Janice Hendry, I am so incomprehensible, but I'm making a way for you to know me. Isn't that is a sobering, overwhelming thought that I just don't think many of us, myself included, spend enough time before the Lord thanking him for what he has done to be in relationship with us. So hear this. He is unable to be fully known. That's what it means that he's incomprehensible. But he is able to be sufficiently known through his word. He has revealed what we need to know for salvation and sanctification. So I just want to spend just a few minutes on this because this is so important and it leads into why our God is so good. And so general revelation, that's the general truths that can be known about God through nature. Psalm 19, 1 through 4, let me read it to you. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So you see in this passage that God's existence and power, it's clearly seen through what? Nature. I mean, we just said the heavens declare the glory. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. There's no speech where their voice can't be heard. There's not one place on this planet where his creation isn't declaring there is a God. There's an order to creation. There's an intricacy. There's a wonder. All of this that speaks to a creator God. In Romans 1, 19 through 20, here's what it says. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So from general revelation alone, what does it declare? There is a God. There is a divine nature of God. There is a God who is in control. And so God has made it plain to every person who walks the face of the earth, whether they believe it or not, he has declared and made himself knowable in the sense that he exists. Does that make sense? He has revealed that to every single person, that he is here and he's the one who's created. But then let's talk about special revelation. I love, there's a guy, Don Stewart. He's more of an apologetist, but here's how he defines special revelation, and then we'll read. I think I put it on there. Yeah, so you can follow along with me. He says, special revelation can be defined as a supernatural communication from God that has been given to humanity. The communication can come in either oral or in written form. The truths revealed by special revelation could not be known through looking at unwritten tradition, nature, providence, history, our conscience, or any by reasoning process. God must reveal directly them to us. So this is different than natural or general revelation. This is God speaks orally or through the word. And we see this in Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. It says this, long ago and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So when we talk about special revelation, this is God, it's him speaking. And y'all, he has spoken since day one when he created. He spoke directly with Adam. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through Moses. Then he spoke through the law. Then he spoke through Jesus, the Word made flesh. And then he culminated and put it all in a book of his words to us. He is a speaking, communicating God. So I want you to see this incomprehensible God. He wants to make known and has revealed what is necessary for us to know so that we might be in right relationship with him. Again, stop for a second and think about that. An incomprehensible God who is infinite, so wholly other than us, but he has chosen to make himself known to us, his creation. If nothing else should make you worship on Sunday, this should make you worship. That this God who's created has said, I want to be in relationship with you. And remember last week, when did he declare that you would be his? Before the foundation of the earth. So before he even created time, this incomprehensible God declared you would be his. And then he created time. And he revealed himself to us. I mean, all of that together, it's overwhelming. So here's the good news. I'm not going to give you all the good news. I'm just going to give you some of it because there's so much more as it relates to just our God being incomprehensible. The first thing I want to point out is it is good news because we have an incomprehensible God who revealed how to know him relationally. He made sure that that was knowable about him. That wasn't one of the unsearchable things that he kept hidden. That wasn't the mystery that he kept hidden. That was one of the very things that he made known so that we could have relationship with him. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pretty clear, isn't he? He has declared, I'm incomprehensible, but here's what I want you to know. You can have a relationship with me. And there's only one way. One way. We don't get to pick other ways. But boy, don't we live in a world that lets us pick other ways. And we think we get to decide how we can come to God and how God should accept us. And he's like, no, there's one way. And Jesus says, and I am that way. Then it says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's what God, incomprehensible God, wants you to know. Eternal life is available to you through Christ. We are in Romans. I don't know if you know that. Surprise! But we're in Romans, and I will tell you, I was one of those that when I became a follower, I grew up in a church. I probably heard the gospel every day of my life. I mean, I can't remember a time when I didn't know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and I, you know, might believe him and accept him. But it wasn't until I was in right before seventh grade that the Lord, he brought this dead girl to life. He regenerated me. And for the first time, I was like, oh no, I am really a sinner. And so I grew up in a Baptist church. And so, I did what you did at my church, is I immediately the next Sunday walked the aisle and said, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so my pastor was like, okay, well, we'll come visit you this week. And I will just tell you, I knew all the right answers and I said all the right answers. But I also was kind of like, I don't want to talk about it, you know, kind of thing. So I was that kid that was like, yes, I have, I've done it. And so next thing you know, on a Sunday night, I was getting baptized. And I remember after, it was a small church, after you were baptized, they always presented you to the church and everybody would shake your hands. And y'all, I remember as a girl between 6th and 7th grade that summer standing there going, I just don't think something took. I feel like I'm still a really big sinner and I don't know what was supposed to take place, but I'm just not thinking it happened. And I was right. There wasn't something magical that had happened in this week. But what I would tell you, when you became a new member, they gave you this little packet, and in the packet they gave you the Romans Road tract. And so I went, well, I think it was Romans, it's either Romans Road or Four Spiritual Laws, but I feel like it was Romans Road. But the only room in our house that had locks was the bathroom. So I went into the bathroom and I locked the door and I pulled that little thing out and I started reading. And I was like, okay, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I was like, that's where I'm at. I know that this is where I'm at. Like you have opened my eyes that I'm a sinner. And then it took you to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. I'm like, got it. I know this. Like, something's not happening here. And then it said, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. And I'm like, okay, I know that, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. And then we got to Romans 5:8. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. So then it was like, oh, he died for me. I'm a sinner. I am currently a sinner. I mean, I didn't understand that I would continue to sin, but at this point, unregenerated. I mean, regenerated, but not yet faith to believe. So all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is what Christ has done for me. And then 10:9-10 says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you will be saved. And I will tell you, that's when I was like, okay, we're doing this. This is the missing point. I'm sure that every pastor, my parents had already shared this with me, but I didn't hear it until this moment. And then I prayed. It had a little prayer you could pray, and I prayed. And then it took you to chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, I was like, I do. Something took this time. Like, it was just, you know, my little 6th grade going into 7th grade mind. I was like, this is it. And so, do you see, that's just a few verses where the incomprehensible God, he revealed through his word how I could know him. And he did it in a way that a little girl, without her parents, even though they had poured into me my whole life, but just me and him and the work of the Holy Spirit, I could comprehend and know this incomprehensible God. Y'all, our incomprehensible God has revealed himself so that each one of us, wherever we were in life, could come to know him as our Savior. He revealed that to us. And I don't ever want us to stop and lose the wonder and the amazement that this is who our God is. That he cared enough about a little 6th grade girl who thought she was doing all the right steps. But he made sure that I got what I needed. And it was revealed to me through his word how I could have a relationship with him. That's who our incomprehensible God is. He's incomprehensible, but he makes sure that we know who he is in the fullness of how we can have a relationship with him. He didn't leave any detail out. Isn't that beautiful? That's how good our God is. The next thing I want you to see is that not only did he reveal what was necessary for salvation, it's good news because the incomprehensible God, he desires us to continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of him and to grow in our reliance and trust in him. and then to grow in our obedience. This is the sanctification part. And guess what, ladies? He's given us what we need to know in order to do this. First, he's empowered us and has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. But then he's given us his word. He's given us his word so that we can keep growing in our understanding of how he has revealed himself to us. Let me read from Ligonier Ministries. I put it on there because, again, I want you to have this one. I loved it. It said, many people believe that theological study holds little value. They say, I don't need theology. I just need to know Jesus. Yet theology is unavoidable for every Christian. It is our attempt to understand the truth that God has revealed to us, something every Christian does. So it's not a question of whether we're going to engage in theology. It is a question of whether our theology is sound or unsound. It's important to study and learn because God has taken great pains to reveal himself to his people. He gave us a book, one that is not meant to sit on a shelf pressing dried flowers, but to be read, searched, digested, studied, and chiefly to be understood. So ladies, let me ask you this. Do you think that if you are in the Word more and more, that it would change how you know your God? Yes. Let me just give you, and you'll get this when I send the notes out, so but just hear these. If you were just reading the Old Testament, and you just pause on a few of his names, here's what you would learn about your God. In Genesis 1, he's Elohim, the strong one. In Exodus 4, 10 and 13, he's Adonai, the Lord. He's master of all. In Genesis 14, 20, you would see he's El Elyon, the most high, the strongest one. In Genesis 16, 13, you'd see he's El Roy, the strong one who sees. In Genesis 17, 1, you'd see El Shaddai, the Almighty God. In Exodus 3, 13 and 14, you would see Yahweh, the I Am, the self-existent, self-sufficient one we talked about 2 weeks ago. And that's just in a few verses. He is revealing these aspects of who he is to us because he wants us to know these. Why? Because it's necessary for us to be able to trust him. And how do we trust him? It's when we know him and we see that he's trustworthy in every aspect. Does that make sense? He wants you to know him. The incomprehensible God says, yes, there's mysteries to me, but mind my word that I've given you that you will know what I have revealed to you about who I am. Instead of being so caught up in all the questions, which are good, and we'll have all eternity to get those answered, but he said, but dive into who I've told you that I am. I will tell you, it's fun. I teach the faithful followers. It's a Sunday school class of, they're all but one, I think, are widows in the class. And most of them, I would say, are in their late 80s and early 90s. And many have been widows for a very long time. But they have walked with the Lord faithfully for decades. And what I think is so beautiful, because I'm teaching the same thing to them. So I practice here and then I go there and refine it. Or I'm like, oh, okay, I need to change that. But it's so fun because when they talk about the Lord, they're like, you know, I learned this about God when I was in my 50s. But boy, when I got into my 70s, that's when I really had to come face to face with what it meant. And so it's this beautiful picture of this growing knowledge for an entire lifetime. And they will tell you, each one of them, and Rebecca can attest to this because we have good friends in there, and they will tell you, it only gets sweeter. It only gets better in terms of the depth of love that they have for their Savior and the depth of love that they know he has for them. But it's because they take the time to know him as he has revealed himself. And that they don't do it perfectly. They're not perfect. They will be the first to tell you that. But they have taken the time to do the hard work of being in the Word and knowing who their God is. And with each new stage. The last thing I want to highlight about what is good, and there's so many more. These are just the quick ones for us in here tonight, so I want you all to think about these more. Why? What is another reason that it's good that God is incomprehensible? Because, ladies, we will continue to grow in our knowledge of him for all eternity. I think that's part of what we're going to do for all eternity, is understand him. But think about this. Well, let me read from Ligonier, and then I want you to think about something, because I think it's fantastic. Ligonier says this, when it comes to knowing God, there will always be more for us to learn. Even in all of eternity, we will plumb the depths of his character, learning more and more that our Creator is infinitely more glorious than we could ever imagine. What I want you to think about is that for all eternity, like, and that hurts your head, like, for all eternity, you will continue to find out more and more about God. But ladies, it's only going to be good and better. The danger in getting to know other humans intimately, what is it? That eventually somebody confesses that thing, right? It's like, okay, now that we're close enough, I can share with you my yuck. It's not that way with God. There is no yuck to find out. It is only better and better and sweeter. And it will only grow us, I think, to want to worship him even more. And then even more. And then even more. And don't we get a taste of that sometimes here on earth? When we wrestle with God in some way, and on the other side of it, we have found him so faithful, and we worship him, even though we've walked through something hard, but we see him more clearly than we ever did. And then we walk through another thing that's difficult or hard, and then at the end of it, we see his faithfulness, his goodness, his kindness, and we worship him more. For all eternity, we won't have to go through the hard things. We will be walking through eternity without a sinful body, which I can't even imagine not having sinful thoughts. I mean, I'm like, what will I think about? You know, that's, again, not what you want your director to say. But let's just be honest. I mean, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know. So it's like, I won't have any sinful thoughts. I will be in a glorified body. I cannot sin. And the incomprehensible God this side of heaven will say, but I'm going to keep revealing more and more and more. And it's only going to be better and better and better. That's who our God is. That's who this incomprehensible God who said, Minda, I've set my affection on you and you are mine. And look what awaits you. Oh, this is good news. Such good news. So let me ask you our last three questions. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God is incomprehensible? And if you believe that God is incomprehensible, then that also means that you need to rightly understand that he's made himself knowable. And so the question I would ask you is, you may believe he's incomprehensible, and you may believe that he has made himself knowable. Let me just ask you, don't answer out loud. Are you willing to do the hard work of seeking to know him as he's revealed himself in the Word? Too many times I hear, oh, well, I just can't understand that. So, boy, election, that passage in Ephesians 1, I don't get it, so I'm just going to toss it aside. I don't know what to do with that book of Revelation, so I'm just not going to study it. Y'all, no. He has said, these are the things about me I want you to know. So know me. So if you believe he's incomprehensible yet has made himself knowable to a certain degree, then let's act on it. Let's be in the Word. Let's do the hard work of wrestling with those passages. The second question is, do we rest and rely on him? If we rested on and relied on God, who is incomprehensible but yet also knowable, how would that change things for us? Kind of the same every week, but how would it change us? You'd be a little more confident in the Lord. Wouldn't we rest a little bit more in our God because we would trust him? Maybe you would know he is your El Shaddai. And so when a situation came up, you might go, okay, I can believe him. Or, oh, he's the God who sees, that I can rest that you see my situation. You're engaged in this. It changes, doesn't it? And then the last question, do we rival God in this attribute that is only his? Now you may be thinking, how in the world would I rival God on him being incomprehensible? Well, I asked you guys earlier to give me some questions. And a lot of our questions are whys, right? There's other questions we have too, but a lot of them are the why questions. We want to know, because when we're in a struggle, when we're in a hard place, when we're in the midst of injustice, when we are maybe the one who's not having the easier but the harder life, or we're dealing with mosquito bites, or you know, whatever it is, when we're in the why, aren't we really struggling with what is God's motives in this? What are his purposes in this? How is this fair? Have you ever kind of thought those things? And so what I would say to you about me, if I'm honest, most of my struggle is because I'm questioning God's reasons for why he's allowing something. And I'm mad that he won't tell me. And then even if he told me, I don't think I would be satisfied in what he was saying. And so to a certain degree, I think I have the right, the correct, fair understanding of my situation. And so when I'm questioning God, it's because I don't think he's measuring up to my moral compass or to my value system. And so I'm saying, I know you're incomprehensible, but I don't like whatever you're keeping hidden because I don't think it's good. Now, ladies, I would never say it directly that way. But in my heart, isn't that what I'm doing? Many of you know my story. I won't go into it long. Just at the shooting at my church when I was in my 20s in Texas, and my friend was one of the ones who was killed. And I wrestled for quite a few months, and it was over why. Why my church? Why my friends? And I remember going, I don't care if 100,000 people get saved. It's still my friend. And it's still my church, and I don't like it. And how dare you? This is not good. You could have accomplished, I remember saying, you could have accomplished all the good you want without doing this. Because you're God. I mean, if you could have seen the heart. And then, of course, then when I was in public, I was like, we just trust the Lord. Because I was a Sunday school teacher. I mean, it was one of those things. I could say the right things. But I was wrestling and I was throwing my hands up because I didn't like what he allowed. And I was declaring there's no good reason why. You can't convince me that you have a good reason. Just for the sake of just knowing how it ended, he took me to Psalm 62, 5 and 6. And we wrestled a long time, never giving me a why, but he kept taking me back to him. My soul wait in silence for God only, not God plus an answer to my why, not God plus anything else. But he took me back to knowing him, him only. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. So he kept taking me back to him and who he revealed himself to be. And so oftentimes I think we rival him, just like I do so many occasions, because those incomprehensible, those secret mysteries, his unsearchable ways that are higher, I just don't understand. And it's hard to sit and not knowing, isn't it? But then I have to go back to who he is. As I finish tonight, I want to tell you, and I'm going to give Molly Hendry this credit, Janice's daughter. She told me about a book called The Moon is Always Round. It is a children's book. It is about a father who is trying to explain to his son why his mom lost the baby that was in the womb. And so he goes through this whole story where he takes the little boy outside on a full moon and he goes, "What do you see?" And he's like, "The moon." And he goes, "What's the shape?" "It's round." And then a few weeks later he takes them out and they're looking at the moon. It's only half a moon. And he goes, "What do you see?" He goes, "Half of a moon." He goes, "But what do we know is true? The moon is round." Then he took them out a few weeks later and there's just a little sliver. And he goes, "What do you see?" And he goes, "Just a little bit." And his dad said, "But what do we know is true? The moon is always round." Then he took him out on a night where he couldn't see it at all. And he said, "What do you see?" And he goes, "I don't see the moon." He goes, "But what do we know is true? The moon is always round." And so ladies, here's what I would say. God has revealed what we need to know about him so that we can have life and relationship with him, but we can grow in our understanding and knowledge of who he is. And so here's what I would say. We will have many why questions that are kept in the mysteries of God. But what we can declare, because he's revealed it in Scripture, is that no matter what, God is always good. So whether we see it on a day when it's a full moon in our life and we're like, "Man, God is good," or we're on those days where we are barely seeing a sliver, we can still go, "I may not have the whys. Those are the secret things of God." But what he has revealed is that he is always good. So it's through that lens of what he has revealed about himself that I will walk through this life. Because my incomprehensible God has made known to me that he is good, he is loving, he is faithful, he sees me, he is with me. Those are the truths of what he has revealed that I will cling to. Isn't that the best news, ladies? Let's stop rivaling him. Let's know our God. Let's enjoy him. Because he has made us for relationship with him, and he's made us to know him. So, thoughts before I close this? Next week we're on the immutability of God. Woo! He doesn't change. There's a lot of things that we'll get into that one. When I send you guys, I just want you to know, when I send you the copy of the notes, and if you guys aren't on the email list, just make sure you're on it because you'll get this. I'm going to attach, there is a great article that I was reading about this when I was preparing. And it comes from, they talk about the Westminster Confession, but in one article they combine the incomprehensibility of God and the knowability of God, and which is what we've just been talking about. And so they speak a little more intelligently, I don't know the right word, but a little more academic, but it's a good article. So you will get that when I send the notes to you. So let me pray, and then we will be out of here, but ladies, please spend time with those four sets of verses about who God is, and then let that spur you on to then read the rest of Scripture to know who he is and how he's revealed himself. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are incomprehensible, that you are so wholly other, that you are infinite. You are self-sufficient. You are self-existent. And thank you that you are that. But that in your kind and good purposes, you made yourself known. You made yourself known in a way that we could have a relationship with you and that we could be in right standing with you and that in knowing you, we can walk each day trusting you. And so, God, help us to be women who take time to sit in amazement and awe of who you are and then to sit before you rejoicing and thanking you and worshiping you, that you would even bring us into relationship with you. Lord, it is overwhelming to think that before you even created time and space, you declared we would be yours. And then you made a way for us to know you, and then you continue to reveal more and more of yourself that we might walk more faithfully with you. And so help us to do just that. Be with each woman here. They have their own sets of whys and their own sets of whats and questions. Lord, thank you that we can ask them, but help us to sit confidently when you do not give us clear answers, but that your answer is you. And so help us to be satisfied in you. And so we pray and ask this in your Son's most holy name. Amen.